Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that didn't get any superpowers from the friggin' eclipse. I wanted superpowers.
I thought I felt one coming on, but then my eyes just were hurting, I guess. I don't know, maybe it's unrelated.
Yeah, obviously if you wear the glasses, you don't get the superpowers.
Exactly. You gotta absorb all of that solar energy directly in through the eyes.
You gotta look hard and you gotta look deep.
And for a long time, like the entire time.
Drink it, really drink in that sunlight.
Yeah.
And lunar energies.
Lunar light,
lunar energies that charge your eyeballs. Let's talk about nerd news.
All right. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Cody.
We have a fantastic show for you this week. Back from our extended break. Josh is back.
Yay.
It's been what, like 2 months almost? A month and a half?
No.
7 years?
7 years. Back from the void, back from the war.
The vault.
Yeah.
Disney. We've taken him from the Disney vault.
He's come back for a limited engagement from the Disney vault. Purchase now before he's gone forever until next time.
I'm part of the Black Diamond collection.
That's right. Right there next to the Black Cauldron and Song of the South. It's Josh.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, there's a second vault within the vault that has Song of the South.
That's true.
And that vault ain't opening up anytime soon.
It's welded shut.
That one's
welded shut.
Yes, that's very a good point. Anyway, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
Check it out!
So Josh, you've been gone the longest. What have you been doing?
Sleeping.
Okay, fair enough.
But
moving on.
We did watch season 7 of Rick and Morty.
Okay.
Which has, you know, the new voice actors in it.
Yeah, how are they?
Couldn't tell a difference. I legitimately could not tell a difference.
That is a real testament to the skill
and talent
of Justin Roiland.
Yeah.
That he could be replaced like that.
It's almost like anybody can do that voice.
Yeah.
And everybody does.
Everybody has a Rick. Everybody has a Morty.
You know,
hey Josh, how's your Morty?
I don't know. I don't know if my throat can do a Morty.
No notes. 10 out of 10. Cody, how's your Morty?
Oh geez, Rick.
Gosh. Oh geez, Rick. I don't know.
Anyway,
it's almost like everybody has a Rick.
Everybody has a Rick.
The Morty's kind of just like
Morty. It's really just saying the word Morty because
Morty.
That's how you hit it. Yeah.
Well, you know Morty.
But anyway.
Anyway.
I don't know. Season 7 was actually kind of good.
Okay.
Like, I legitimately kind of liked it.
Is it okay to like Rick and Morty now? Or are the people who are like, this show is the smartest television show on the earth, and if you don't like it, then you're not smart? Are those people still around, or is it okay to watch the show again?
I think a lot of people kind of just got burned out on Rick.
I think those people got mad when they fired Roiland.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All
you
right.
You know what? I could see that.
Yeah.
They took all their Szechuan sauce and went home.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Crawled back into their dark, dank dungeons of 4chan.
Went back to playing their stinky Yu-Gi-Oh, but that's for later in the show.
You know, it was,
maybe.
I thought it was legitimately good. There was there's like a whole bunch of lore dumping. There's a couple good, like, just kind of one-off episodes of just, there's a whole episode where they go back to the well of iced tea from that end of the Get Swifty episode.
Okay. Huh. I guess I haven't watched that episode.
You know when they're singing, or they gotta.
I know what Get Swifty is,
and the big giant heads that.
Yeah.
Show me what you got. Yes, that's true. I do remember.
Yeah, but like
that.
The end credit stinger joke of that episode was, Ice-T is actually an alien from another planet.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
There's a whole episode with the president and Rick. And then the president meets Rick's therapist and tries to date her.
Oh, okay.
But no, I liked it. There's a whole episode with like Evil Morty doing his thing, and
sure.
I actually liked it. It was probably some of the better Rick and Morty stuff I've seen in a while.
Did anyone turn into a pickle? That is the only joke I know about Rick and Morty.
He turned into a leg.
Was it the funniest thing you've ever seen?
No. No. At the point where like Morty opens the door, he's like, "Hey Morty, look, I'm a leg. I'm Leg Rick." And Morty just kind of like just turns around and shuts the door.
So it's gotten to the point where they're making fun of their own jokes.
Pretty much.
Self-referencing now.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I always preferred Tiny Rick to Pickle Rick.
Yeah.
Well, Tiny Rick was the beginning. Tiny Rick was the original joke.
The let me out.
Let me out.
This is not a dance.
I'm screaming for help. I'm begging for help.
Even Samantha will occasionally reference that one.
Oh, yeah. Me and Nicole do it all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the show peaked with Butter Robot.
Yeah.
From what? The first season. Like, I think it's like the first episode.
Yeah, the whole show peaked with the first season.
I think so. Yeah.
What is my purpose? You pass butter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, so I have a thing that I checked out. It is a little different than what we normally do. We usually talk about games or movies or television. I ate a bunch of sushi at a cool sushi restaurant that is like from the future. So there's a place down in Polaris. This place was too cool for me to not talk about. It's called Kura Revolving Sushi, and it was amazing. Everything is on a big track, like a train.
Not Kuso Revolving Sushi. That would be different.
That would be different.
And not good.
And no.
You can look that one up.
Yeah, that's
dictionary.
That's a, yeah. But no, this place was great. So everything is on a big, long track that circles around the entire restaurant, up and down the aisles between all of the booths. And when you see something you want to eat, you just grab it off the thing. And then there's a little slot at the end of the table that you deposit your plates into. And it counts how many plates you have. And you pay by the plate.
Oh, so you don't pay per dish?
It's everything is a flat like $3.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing.
And yeah, I mean, because I
have dropped some money on some sushi.
It gets a little expensive quick, especially when you hear about the reward system. There is a gacha like reward system.
They've gamified the sushi.
They absolutely have gamified the sushi. So there's a digital screen that you can order. You could special order if there's something that keeps everybody else picks up before you get to it. On your thing, you could actually say, "I would like this salmon." Press it in. It doesn't cost any extra, and there is a track above that is like the high speed track that zips it directly to your table. Oh, so if you just like,
sick.
If you just like one thing and you just want to order one thing over and over, just digitally do that. Also, your drinks are delivered to you on a robot.
Nice,
like a legit robot. Like they set the drinks on a tray. And it like is mapped to go to a certain spot for each booth. It just boop, boop, boop right there. Anyway, every 5 plates, the screen plays part of a little animated video. Ours was about a guy trying to bring sushi to the White House and a raccoon stole it. So it played the first part. The raccoon stole it. So then you have to eat 5 more to find out what happens.
Oh, no.
And when you get 15... there is an attached gachapon machine to each booth that drops a ball down with a little prize. We got magnets for Spy Family.
Rad.
Which, all right. I mean, yeah, it was your and whatever yours.
Thorn Princess.
That's her
assassination.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, right now in the place, it's a branded marketing Spy Family.
Well, the
whatever
the movie I think either is dropping or has dropped.
It comes out next week.
Next week,
in theaters.
But yeah, so you have to eat 15. I mean, you can stop anytime.
15 at $3 a piece.
It gets expensive.
Yeah,
it gets expensive. I mean, I wouldn't go all the time, but
that's definitely fancy daytime.
Once a year, or you know, every 6 months to. Do you know, celebrate a thing and something you've saved up for? Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And sushi's delicious.
And you know what? And the sushi was really good.
Oh, that's
there.
Good.
They did a good job with it. I tried eel for the first time, and it was one of the ones that was a little bit cooked. It was warm when you get it, and it had like a barbecue sauce kind of thing on top of it. and it didn't have the texture of that I was expecting from eel. It just kind of disintegrated in your mouth, which was good. I also had salmon roe. Didn't care for that. I don't like the sensation of things popping and with jelly. It's like, I think it's the same thing as boba.
It's like, yeah, it's like boba.
It's
but
like fish boba.
From a fish.
Fish boba. And I did not care for that.
I make aged roe all the time in Stardew Valley.
Well, yeah, I mean, you make all the money with that, of course. That's the other thing I did, but I'm not far enough into it to really get to any of the new stuff, so I can't talk about it.
I finished the community center today for the first time ever.
Nice.
Very cool. Very rewarding feeling.
It is. It feels good. It gets better.
But I talked about Stardew last time.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about that again.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Cody, you're up. What'd you do?
Last night I watched Renfield.
Renfield, yeah. All right.
It was fine. It was good.
Nicolas Cage as Dracula.
Yeah, he's very good at Nicolas Cage.
I would hope
so. Dracula.
It's not the first time he's played a vampire.
He's having a. you could argue that's not true. Maybe he wasn't actually a vampire in Vampire's Kiss. He might have just been crazy.
He might have just been crazy.
Or had rabies.
But he does know his alphabet.
Yeah, you can't argue that.
Right.
He was a very good Dracula as abusive boyfriend kind of like toxic relationship.
Surprise, Nicolas Cage got fully into a role.
Yeah. it wasn't like groundbreakingly amazing, but it was fun enough on a good way to spend an hour and a half.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I'm glad it was an hour and a half.
How did Awkwafina do as the default sidekick character that she seems to always play?
The same. Like, you could take her character from Shang-Chi and this character, Copaganda Awkwafina in this movie, and switch them out, and you wouldn't
and
know
it would
the
been the same.
Difference.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I like Awkwafina.
She's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny when she yells at people and gets flustered.
Yeah.
Like, I'm into her shtick, I guess. So
yeah, sure.
It's fine. The set design was weirdly really good.
Mm-hmm.
Dracula's little secret base place looked really cool. A lot of blood bags hanging around. Like, it was, like, surprisingly good for what the movie was.
Yeah.
Like, it reminded me of like 90s movies that have ridiculous sets.
Nice.
And at one point, Renfield gets his own apartment and it's all painted with like pastels and bright colors because
Dracula's all dark all the time.
It's the first time he's off on his own in you know, hundreds of years. So he's
do something
going,
different.
He's going all out. He starts wearing like pastel sweaters and stuff.
So he's old or like he's.
It is. I'm assuming it's a Universal movie. They use clips from Universal Dracula. This is Dracula. Like Universal
this is the Dracula,
Dracula.
Dracula. Yeah.
And that Renfield.
So he is the Renfield.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's because he's they, like got like he's Dracula's assistant. So he's like immortal or whatever.
Yeah. There's some scenes at the beginning where they've like digitally put them into the original Dracula.
That's cool.
I wish there was maybe a little more of because it was pretty funny.
Like the Bela Lugosi Dracula?
No, the Universal Dracula. That's older than Bela Lugosi even, I would think. I forget who's Dracula in that one. Maybe is it? No, Bela Lugosi was Hammer Dracula, wasn't he?
No.
No, Hammer Dracula was Christopher Lee.
No, Bela Lugosi is original Dracula, and then Christopher Lee was Hammer Dracula.
Then maybe it is Bela Lugosi, Universal Monsters Dracula.
Yes.
Then
it is him, yeah.
But yeah, it was a
fun
time.
How could you forget? No one gives two craps for Bela.
I've also watched we watched Poor Things a while ago.
Oh yeah.
And it is really, really good.
I've seen really good things about it. I wanted to see it. I just haven't had a chance to sit and watch it yet.
It's on Hulu. It's worth sitting down and watching. It's really good. A lot of sex scenes in it, so like be aware of that.
The book also had that. I read a synopsis of the original book it's based off of, and yeah. Yeah, so not surprised there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really funny and good, and Emma Stone is very good in it, and so is Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo is, like, too funny.
Cool. That's, of course, it's Mark Ruffalo.
There's a part where he's going up some stairs and he trips, and I can't tell if it's real or if it's part of the script.
And they just left it in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Like, I 100% can't tell. And it's like a little bit steampunky.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of cool.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. It's a nice touch. So I watched this animated series.
Ooh.
Now there's a new animated series out. It's, you might have heard of it. It's based off of a popular show from the 90s, and it's very, very good. It's out right now, but I want to talk to you guys about the Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
Oh my God.
You're faking out X-Men again.
I am. I'm faking out X-Men again. Got to keep the bit going. No, I sit at work. I get thoughts. I go, was that a show that existed when I was a child? I can't remember. So then I have to look it up, and I go, yeah, it was. I wonder if that's available. I wonder if I can find that. More times than not, you can. The internet is a big, dark place, and the trash bucket has no basement to it.
Well, if you couldn't find all the episodes of Cowboys of Moo Mesa, then the lost media people would get very upset
they
and
would
sweaty
get very
about
upset.
It.
Yes. So I watched, I now own all 26 episodes of the Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
It's actually the Wild West COW.
Yes.
Boys.
Yes.
I forget what it stands for, but it
stands for something. So this was in an age where the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were a big thing.
I feel like they were almost going out
they
by
were,
the time.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This came out.
This would have been around the same time as Biker Mice from Mars and SWAT Cats.
Road Rovers.
Street
yeah.
Sharks.
Street Sharks.
All those ripoffs. Yeah.
So Moo Mesa is a giant mesa that is above the clouds where
we all go when we die.
We all get turned into anthropomorphized cows. They're not people that were turned into cows. They're not a civilization of cow people that have always existed. An asteroid came across the Earth and hit a bunch of cows on this mesa that not mutated, not transformed, cowmatized them into Wild West cowboys and bandits, and they live in a town on the top of Moo Mesa.
By the way, the COW stands for Code of the West.
Code of the West.
Wild West
Code of
the
West,
boys.
Of Boys of Moo Mesa. This is what we're working with, guys. This is what we're working with. And it's trash. It's bad. I now know why I could barely remember it from being a child, because I probably watched it once when I was 11 or 12 and went,
this is stupid.
Boy, this sucks.
Do they just self-govern up there? Are they their own little world?
Oh, like, they are their own little world. As far as they're concerned, I mean, they recognize that there is Earth below where people live, and cows are cows that do milk, but but they stay to their own, and it's not because they're like, oh no, the humans, they're going to
they're
find
not
us
going
out.
To understand.
No, they're just like, we have our town here, we have our bandits. There's a bat who is a bandit, a bat-dit, if you
where
will.
Where do they get their milk?
You don't question it. You don't worry about it.
Where does the dairy come from in Zootopia for the ice cream?
Oh, oats. You know, it's oat milk,
yeah, soy
or almond milk. I guarantee
they
that
can't
the
grow
that
almonds
the,
up there.
That the that
you're gonna tell me they can grow almonds on
Moo
Mesa?
They absolutely
I doubt
could
it.
Not grow almonds on Moo Mesa. No, if we extrapolate this, then yes, someone's
getting milked.
Someone on two legs
is getting milked
in the Wild West Code of the West Boys of Moo Mesa.
There's a special saloon you can go to that where that happens.
Yeah, gotta pay extra.
I don't remember this in Red Dead Redemption.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Josh, your turn. Go again.
So speaking of old, really bad cartoons.
Yes, let's hear it.
So I tried to watch Captain Simian and the Space Chimps.
Hell yeah.
Another 90s cartoon that tried to jump on the popularity of the Turtles and a ripoff of a ripoff of a ripoff.
This is one that I don't even remember. You had to tell me about this one.
This
prior.
One was like a part of a weird syndication package that I think only certain channels got.
Yeah, because I never saw this as a kid.
Doesn't it have a lot of Star Trek people on it?
No, that was Gargoyles.
No, I thought this had a lot of Star Trek people too.
It might
maybe
have.
Maybe not.
It
I don't
might
know.
Have.
I couldn't even I couldn't even make it through the first episode. It's awful.
A running theme on this show so far.
Yeah, it's awful. I couldn't tell if it was because I was tired, but I could not. And I love that kind of dumb shtick, and I could not. And the main Captain Simeon was a NASA chimp who got picked up by aliens while in space, and they
a solid premise.
And they, you know, they gave him greater intelligence, made him like a person to help them do whatever they need to do. I don't even remember what the
whatever aliens
whatever they
whatever
need to do.
Yeah,
you know, to form his, you know, team of space monkeys.
Yeah.
But he constantly references Houston. Like, not like the place, but he's almost like talking into the void. And he's like, Houston, I got to tell you, you know, it's getting weird out here.
He's like Agent Dale Cooper with his voice recorder.
Uh-huh.
Diane.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's like that.
Okay. So I looked up the cast of Captain Simeon
and
the
Space Chimps.
So it's not just Star Trek. There are a lot of space show adjacent actors on it.
Okay, so I wasn't completely off.
Not completely off. Jerry Doyle, who was on Babylon 5, was the voice of Captain Simeon.
Hmm.
But the show did have James Avery.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
Oh, it sounds so familiar. Oh, that's Sisko.
No.
Oh.
That's Shredder and also Uncle Phil from...
Oh, right.
But Michael Dorn was on this.
Worf. Okay.
Malcolm McDowell was on this show.
Who was in Star Trek Generations? And
yep.
Tank Girl.
David Carradine?
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
I hear he choked in his audition.
Oh.
Renee Aberdron?
I don't recognize.
Odo.
Oh no.
David Warner. David Warner was, let's see here. He would have been in Star Trek 5, the one where God needs a spaceship.
Why does God need a starship?
And also he was the scientist in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Okay.
Or he was Jack the Ripper in one of my favorite movies, Time After Time. Also starring Malcolm McDowell. Ever tell you about that movie?
I remember you've talked about it before.
Okay, the one where Jack the Ripper uses H.G. Wells' time machine to go to the future, to the 70s, to continue killing prostitutes.
That sounds familiar.
Yep. And yep. H.G. Wells has to go to the future and meets Andy McDowell. Yeah.
Okay.
Good movie. Solid movie. But, you know.
I mean, if we're going to talk old cartoons, I did watch 2 episodes of the Sam and Max cartoon the other day.
Fantastic. Holds up.
It's still great. Yeah.
That's a show that holds up.
They 100% captured the spirit of the comics and games that the characters' voices are.
Sam and Max could be a show that they could bring back for, like, Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Or a Max,
I mean,
or something.
Well, a Max would never do it because they hate fun.
Yeah.
But... if someone who enjoyed media ran HBO Max Discovery, then they would be able to do something like that.
Steve Purcell, the creator of Sam and Max, he works at Pixar now.
He's, oh, he does?
He's head Cars man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he didn't do that movie, but he is in charge of the franchise now.
Oh, that's weird. That's a weird thing to put on a resume.
Head Carsman.
Head Carsman.
Because I don't think they're even doing anything with cars.
They're always selling toys of cars.
Well,
yeah.
There's a character named after him in the Cars universe.
Oh, really?
It is a hearse named Steve Hurstell.
Okay, that's good. All right, that's good. That's a very Pixar joke.
Yeah.
Very Pixar joke.
All right.
Yeah.
And he's always posted like new Sam and Max art he's doing all the time on the internet if you look him up.
What's cool that he's sticking with it. It would be nice to see Sam and Max get some kind of resurgence.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Even if it's not, it's always a game. Like, let's do something different again.
Different. Yeah, absolutely.
I loved him in the Poker Night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was good. Yep.
Was that the one with Brock Sampson?
They're in both.
Oh, they're
Max
in both?
Max is in one and Sam and Max is in the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
They did Max in the first one, and in the second one, they realized you can't separate them. It doesn't work. So they
put them both in the other. I remember sitting in the booth always like like chirping up every like to throw some kind of joke or anecdote
in there. Yeah, in the first one, Max is playing. In the second one, Sam is playing, and Max is sitting in the booth, you know, commenting.
Yeah, yeah.
Separating them like that doesn't work. It's a sin.
It doesn't work. You need a sin. Yeah,
it's gross.
It's two different. I was almost going to say a straight man and the comedy guy, but they're both wacky, crazy comedy people, but in different levels, different energies.
Yeah,
they work together.
And they both have the different things that they do. Yeah,
you need it. Yep. All right, hey, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some movie trailers. We're going to be talking about all sorts of other happy, fun stuff. Yeah.
Ed Sheeran, Beyonce, Drake, Taylor Swift. Not a single one of these music legends has any idea what our show Longplay is all about. I would bet that not a single one of these music megastars will ever tune into an episode of Longplay here on WZMO. But you can. I'm Greg Dunham, and I invite you to catch Longplay every Friday night at 11 or Saturday afternoon at 3 and give a listen to the radio show that 99.9% of all future Rock and Roll Hall of Famers will never hear.
Are you living yet? Do you know danger? Because we're back for the show.
Making reference to the newest Hot Ones
yes.
that we all sat and watched.
Yes, Hot Ones with Conan O'Brien.
Some manic energy on that episode.
Ooh, man. Good stuff.
He's doing Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conan is at his peak.
At his Conanist.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, let's talk about some things in the news that have been happening. And this is a sentence that's gone way too long, but I don't know how to stop.
I'm glad you pulled the e-brake on that
Thank
one.
Thank you. Had to bail out of that sentence about halfway through. Yeah. So, let's talk about some things. First up, Joker 2, Folie à Deux. It does rhyme.
Yes.
Joker 2, boop, boop, dee doo.
There's a trailer for
Betty Boop's in this
Betty
one.
Betty Boop's in this one, yeah. Yep. Todd Phillips, his second one with Joaquin Phoenix, and Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
It looks fine.
Yeah.
So far, it looks tonally feels like the first one.
Yep.
There is going to be more music. It's a musical.
You know what? Cool.
Looks like a love story between the two characters and not like this one-sided thing that they usually do with Harley and the Joker.
See, I kind of got that a little bit, but I also got it as Harley is kind of dragging him along almost a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Harley is the obsessed fan that is... Like, no, you must be the Joker. Come on, Joker.
Yeah, because she's all like, I want to see the real you. And she like draws like a red smile on a mirror or something and it lines up with his face.
Part of it almost feels like, at least at the beginning of the trailer, it almost feels like Arthur Fleck is like, I did the Joker thing and now I'm in jail. Maybe I should not do the Joker thing. And then Harley Quinn steps in and goes, hey, do you want to do the Joker thing? And he's like, yes.
Yes.
That's kind of what it felt like to me.
No. I quit smoking. Would you like a smoke?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It looks like a different take on both characters.
The dynamic seems a little different.
Oh, yeah. She's not his therapist or even a therapist, I don't think.
Yeah.
She obviously is some kind of either inmate or a person in his support group or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Or whatever mental institution they're in.
It almost feels kind of like Helena Bonham Carter's character a little bit from Fight Club. Because
a little bit vibe situation. Yeah.
So this is the first DC live action film that is officially under the Elseworlds label. So what that means is now that they are trying to redo the DC cinematic universe with the James Gunn stuff, anything that doesn't fit within that is getting the Elseworlds title. What If, but a little different.
It's also What If, but also it's like multiverse stuff.
Multiverse stuff, yeah.
Because Superman Red Sun was part of that.
But I hate multiverse stuff. I do.
But everybody, it's all that's all everybody's doing.
And I hate
now.
It even more. I didn't like it much when it was just a concept in comics, and I don't.
It's almost like going, what if none of this matters?
Yeah, what if none of this matters? What if we don't want to have any stake? Because nothing matters, and it's a multiverse thing, nothing has stakes. And that's how I've felt in comics. Whenever I read a one where it's like, oh, this takes place in a parallel universe where Superman stubbed his toe and hated it, and now it was bad because of it. It's like, I don't... Fine, I guess.
When you open the multiverse door, now you can go, well, that was that version of that character who's now dead, but don't worry, here in the universe over, there's one just like it, and it's fine.
I'll be honest, that's how I felt watching Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. It was a good movie. It was fun. I did eventually watch it. I didn't talk about it on the show because it's been forever and there's no point. Everyone's talked about it. But the scene where they go to the multiverse and it's the Illuminati with
Xavier.
Captain Carter and Xavier and Mr. Fantastic and all this stuff.
Black Bolt.
And yeah, Scarlet Witch, she goes ham on him. She rips him apart.
Literally.
And it was an interesting looking scene. But there were no real stakes because it was very clear that I don't have any attachment to these characters. Even with Patrick Stewart playing Professor X, that's not the Professor X that we followed in the films. It's just a Professor X that happens to look like Jean-Luc Picard. There was zero stakes.
So glad he was in the gold hover chair from the 90s X-Men.
I mean, though. That was a cool, hey, look at this thing. Saw it and I clapped.
Yes.
That scene was, I saw it and I clapped.
Yes.
There were no other stakes. Who gives a flying jump if Mr. Fantastic was unraveled? don't know this character.
When they did do the showed multiple universes too, it was the most uninspired,
it really
uninteresting.
Was.
When they're falling through all the portals.
And yet they did nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting detracted here.
We
put a bunch of cool filters on the places.
Yeah. So multiverse stories, I don't care for. Anyway, Joker 2 looks pretty okay.
Yeah, I'll see this.
I'm eagerly waiting to see how many people take the wrong the wrong opinion, the
you
wrong
mean, you
the
mean
wrong
like the first
moral
one?
Out of the film.
You mean like the first
and
one?
And make it their entire personality.
Get a load of this society.
I mean, I liked the first movie fine.
As a film, it was fine.
Yeah,
I still
good.
Haven't watched it.
As a movie, it was fine, but anyone who goes, oh, I'm going to devote my entire life, or it's so deep. No, it's a movie. It's a movie by the guy who did the Hangover movies.
Yeah.
It's just a film. It's just a film.
And not even a terribly original one.
No, not really, but... I digress. Joker 2 looks fine. And I'll watch it. Again, might not see it in theaters. I'm not that invested. But I'll watch it at some point.
And in the trailers, they won't ever have them singing any songs because Warner Brothers is afraid that people won't see a musical.
I'm honestly kind of surprised that this movie is going to exist given the state of Warner Brothers currently.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm surprised it didn't get canned for a tax write-off.
They hid that Wonka was a musical.
Yeah.
They hid that the Mean Girls musical was a musical, even though it's in the title.
That
was the whole thing.
Yeah. The state of Warner Brothers, guys.
Of entertainment. What are we talking about?
All right. Let's talk about some things that have been announced but have not happened yet. And let's do some wild speculation on
them. Yay, because that's almost everything else we have.
That'll fill some time. Because of the eclipse, and I knew something was going to have some kind of gimmicky, oh, the eclipse happened and now we've announced a thing that might be happening. I did not have a return of NBC's Heroes on my bingo card for the year.
Even though I saw plenty of jokes on the internet
about
it. Because
no one asked for it. It's the return of Heroes.
What about the cape?
Oh man,
the Cape.
I would watch the hell out of the Cape. That was an okay show.
I never actually watched it.
It was all right. I mean, he didn't have superpowers. His whole thing was he was trained by a circus to be one of those guys that can do cool silk like grab things with silk ropes and stuff in the circus, and then he made a cape out of special silk that he could do.
Cirque du Soleil fights crime.
Basically, yeah. But Keith David was the mastermind villain of the evil clown circus.
Oh, well, yeah. Keith David's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I love Keith David.
Yeah. So, do you guys remember Heroes?
Oh, yeah. I own the first season on DVD.
I remember
That's
watching...
the only season you need to watch.
Watching a couple episodes and being like, this is pretty okay.
It was Once Upon a Time before Once Upon a Time.
Kinda.
Heroes
It was the same people. Or no, I'm thinking of Lost.
Well,
never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think some of the same people. It's the same tone. It's the same overly melodramatic, hacky hack tone.
It was a victim of the old writer's strike.
The writer's strike killed season two, and it killed the series. It was coming back in season four. Season four was actually okay because they introduced, guess what, an evil circus filled with superheroes.
And the cape is there now.
And there was a guy who was basically, what if Magneto had earthquake powers instead of magnetism and was the leader of a super circus? He was a hero metahuman rights activist who wanted to break
the fact that he's doing a circus, a type of entertainment that is known for exploiting
people with disabilities.
Well, that's the whole thing. So his whole plot, getting into the spoilers of season four of Heroes, a show that was on 20 years ago. Yeah. Heroes came on in 2004. It's 2024 now. The show's 20 years old. So his whole thing was, I have seismic powers, and for some reason, the more people with superhuman abilities that are in my general vicinity, the stronger my seismic powers are. So that's why he had a circus full of circus freak superheroes, so that he had an excuse to have a bunch of people around him that augmented his powers. His whole plot was, I'm going to use a giant earthquake to break California off from the rest of the United States at the fault line.
And create
Genosha, essentially. Create a land just for superhumans. And Siler and Matt Parkman and the politician that could fly had to team up and stop him. Some of the powers on Heroes were stupid.
Yeah.
They were dumb. I was thinking about this. This got me thinking about Heroes, and it made me upset that I had to think about Heroes.
But save the cheerleaders, save the world.
I mean, not even really.
That's not even that good of a line.
It's a terrible log line. It really is.
Let's see here.
And like the powers were, the scaling were so out of whack.
Well, you had Hero.
Hero should have been able to stop everyone.
Oh, yeah.
He could stop time, travel through time, and teleport. He could do anything he wanted.
And the fact that, like, his future self kept coming back and basically
being cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had that. And
Nissan
then they
Versa.
Had
Nissan
someone,
Versa.
Nissan. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, our car, Nissan Versa. And season two's, someone has stolen the cheerleader's Nissan Rogue. That was a plot. That was a B plot. That was a high B plot of season two.
I rented a Nissan Rogue once. It was pretty nice.
My dad drives a Nissan Rogue. I used to drive a Nissan Versa. The marketing worked. I'm not saying it wasn't bad marketing. I'm saying it was stupid marketing. But no, then you had a guy that could fly. That's it. Nothing else. You had someone who had super strength sometimes. That was the one with schizophrenia or multiple personality, dissociative identity.
Yeah, okay.
I have super strength, but only when I'm on my period.
You know what?
Well, the cheerleader was invulnerable.
Completely invulnerable.
Like, you could, like, cut her head open and remove part of her brain, and she still functioned just fine.
Yeah, that was the whole plot of
Captain Scarlet. So the cheerleader is Captain Scarlet.
Yeah. Yeah. But then we're getting into some of the ones that, like, the throwaways that Siler killed off.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that time that Clint Howard had the power to melt things by touching it?
Yeah.
Heat metal. He had the D&D spell, heat metal.
He had heat metal. he lasted for a scene. There was, oh, gosh, what were some of the other ones? There was telekinesis, which is okay. There was... Oh, hero's best friend who took a drug and gained superpowers, the power to nullify or supercharge other people's powers. That was a thing in later seasons. He was like a living battery.
Yeah.
Gosh, there were some really dumb ones.
That sounds like a power somebody in My Hero Academia would have. They have those kind of like the guy who can look at you and make one of your powers not work. Like,
that's kind of what it was. Yeah.
I like Eraserhead.
Yeah.
There was, oh geez, the one that my brain always.
Oh geez, Rick. Just a throwback.
Yeah. There was one that I keep going back to. My brain is like, do you remember this? Steven Tobolowsky. Do you know this actor? Ned Ryerson from Groundhog's Day? Ned the Head?
That guy.
He had the Midas touch. And his whole thing was, he never used it for, like, he would just make money for people. That was his whole thing. He had a power that could work. You would be fighting a guy, and you touch him, and they turn into a solid block of gold irreversibly. That's a powerful power, and they did nothing with it. And this is Sam complains about heroes for an hour.
A 20-year-old television show.
All right, so hey, let's run through some of these other things that they've said about movies. There is going to be a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover film officially.
I'm surprised it didn't happen with Bumblebee.
I thought they were heading that way with Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah, John Cena felt like a G.I. Joe.
I'm surprised they're touching G.I. Joe at all after doing several. I guess the Snake Eyes one didn't do so bad.
Snake Eyes was all right.
That's probably why this is happening.
That's probably why,
I was only thinking of the two other ones that were...
And the G.I. Joe Transformer comics are pretty popular.
I always said that they should have done... What they should do is reboot the whole franchise, Transformers and G.I. Joe. You have a Transformers movie where the Autobots and the Decepticons come to Earth for the first time. And I'm talking G1, big, blocky. There's no way that those robots actually turn into those cars-style Transformers.
Kind of the opening of Bumblebee.
I don't need it to make sense. I just need it to look cool.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big fight. Some of the Transformers die. Some of the Decepticons die. At the post-credit sequence, you have the U.S. government or some dark cabal of whatever get some of the pieces, parts of the Transformers that have fallen, and they start reverse engineering red lasers and blue lasers, and that is the basis for your G.I. Joe red laser versus blue laser. That's how you get the Weather Dominator. That's how you get the stupid technology that doesn't make sense.
The hiss tank?
Yeah, that's they take Megatron and rebuild him into a hiss tank.
Or that's a figure. That's actually a figure.
Those little like flying things that the
gyrocopters.
The Cobra troopers fly in. The stupid dome fronts.
That's how you explain why Cobra and G.I. Joe have stupid experimental
technology, weaponry
that makes no sense.
And then the My Little Ponies arrive.
Sure, why not? Why not?
And they all end up in Faerun, and then
and once they win, they go to a Gem and the Holograms concert at the end. Who cares? Put them all together. Why not?
Look out! There's a whole bunch of battleships coming.
The Hasbro Cinematic Universe,
which technically would have Power Rangers in it now.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
but they're never going to do anything with Power Rangers ever again.
Hurry, Duke. You have to put together this concentration game or the president's going to die.
Oh, no. Duke's in a coma, but he's okay.
Oh, yeah. The G.I. Joe movie.
Mm-hmm.
The animated one.
I was once a man.
Let's see. Scary.
Why does he say that so much in that
movie? He says it a lot, just to remind you.
Yeah.
Why? Also, if he's a man, why does Cobra Commander, like, what's up with that lisp? Why? Why?
Why are you negging on a guy with a lisp?
Sometimes it's some,
You're being real judgmental here, Josh. And we don't appreciate
it. The thing to get mad about that movie is, why does it throw away all of Cobra Commander's backstory and turn him into some weird monster from Cobra Law?
Yeah. Yeah, Josh. Have you thought about that?
No.
That's
a Pentor. That's a different dude.
Yeah, the movie, he's also... Cobra Commander is also a snake man from Cobra Law.
Yeah.
Wait, which movie?
The animated movie.
It's been so long since I've watched it.
Well...
I barely remember
he's
it.
He's no longer a fed-up terrorist from Springfield.
I love that he's from Springfield. Yeah. That's great. And as far as I'm concerned, it's Springfield, Ohio. Who
yeah,
cares?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've been to Springfield, Ohio. It tracks.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're going to try to reboot Scary Movie.
Yeah, let's,
for some reason.
Let's strike while the iron is, you know,
ice cold.
Not even ice cold.
What,
like,
what do they have to make fun of? Like Art the Clown and Megan? Like,
yeah, what are they going to do?
There's no... And those movies are, like, actually, like, legitimately good. They don't have, like...
They're going to make fun of Terrifier?
Yeah.
Is there going to be a scene where someone tells someone to get out?
The black phone?
They don't have... Like, when Scary Movie came out, it was just done-to-death horror movies that you could make fun of.
Yeah.
Now horror is, like...
It's good.
It's in a new renaissance
of good and also kind of niche.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. It's a bad idea.
Are the Wayans brothers working on it?
I hope not. I don't. There's very little news about this one.
I think they've passed some laws since then and they're not allowed.
The only way I think a Scary Movie would work is if it is a period piece set in the 80s and they are making fun of old like 80s like slasher
and,
movies.
Freddy it's, and Jason. And,
what is... There was a movie that actually did that. Give me a second. You guys vamp for a minute.
Well, I remember like the movie that spoofed Scary Movie. Shriek, I Know What You Did Last Friday the 13th.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. Shriek, if you Know What I Did Last Friday the 13th. Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. If they did something like that but set it in the 80s.
Is that the one that has Linda Blair in it?
I believe so. Let's see.
But
is it? I think Tom Arnold was in that.
Coolio was in it. Everyone's favorite actor, Coolio.
But that, like,
Tom Arnold was in it. Yes.
That's what I. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Tom Arnold played like the security guard, cop, sheriff and, dude.
Oh, Artie Lang, Shirley Jones. Boy, this has a real killer's row of Z-list
canceled comedians.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Roseanne Barr will be in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Jimmy J.J. Walker, the mark of quality.
Dynamite.
I guarantee he said that. That's the one thing he said.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Like, this one will have, like, some hackneyed, like, it's the end of Midsummer, and they sewed him in a bear, but he's getting up and, like, falling down.
Oh, he fell down and farted.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the opening of this movie.
He does a Left Shark dance, but it's he's in a bear suit. Yeah.
But like, God, Left Shark.
That would be the kind of joke that would be in this.
I know. But I remember in Shriek, I know what you did last Friday the 13th. In the opening, the killer's running around wearing a white hockey mask. And he's chasing this girl around the house. And there's like a giant birthday cake with a lot of candles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he like falls into it or something. And his mask catches on fire. And he's like being crazy. And he runs outside and he dunks his face in a bird bath, and when he picks his face up, it looks like the ghost face mask.
Oh, I see.
It's so
like it melted down.
Yes, it's so dumb. Well,
in the new one, we'll get like, oh, it's Megan. She's gonna kill you. Oh no, oh, her battery died. You forgot to charge her.
Oh no.
But they have the wrong kind of charger.
Yeah, yeah. But oh, you didn't bring your lightning cable.
All I have is
USB-C.
No. It's only USB-C. Yeah.
We can get a spec script going if you want, but I'll do it.
Hollywood.
I'll do it, but I won't be proud of myself.
I won't be happy about it.
You know what?
You can't look at me while I'm writing this.
Spending that money will make it feel better.
Yeah.
I'll spend it on good media.
Let's see. Last couple things. Monopoly movie. Any jokes there?
It is the joke.
Once again, it's Margot Robbie's production company mining some sort of childhood
nostalgia.
Favorite. Yeah.
Childhood favorite?
Oh, no. Nobody likes Monopoly.
Nobody. I don't think anyone likes Monopoly.
I like Monopoly.
I'll take that back. It's fine. I think Monopoly's fine.
I play it the real way.
I'm surprised.
I don't use the house rules.
If we only had Samantha here, the world's number one Monopoly hater.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Well, then I know what I need to do. I need to challenge her to a game Monopoly.
One time we played a Mario Party mode that was like similar to Monopoly. It had like it had a stink of Monopoly on it. Mm-hmm. She was mad at me for it the whole next day.
The only kind of Monopoly I want to play is the one where I get a large fry from McDonald's and I collect those little stickers.
Do they even do that anymore?
No, they don't.
And nobody wins because it's a huge scam.
It's a huge, huge scam. That documentary was awesome.
It was really good. Yeah, yeah, it was a really good one.
What was it called? It was...
Big Money, Big Prizes, I Love It.
Yeah. No, ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah. Big Money, Big Prizes, I'm Loving It. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
That's the one.
Ask her, colon.
I'd buy that for a dollar menu.
They're going to make a R-rated bloody movie for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin comic?
I have actual non-joke opinions about this. I'm going to bring it down for a moment. Energy's going to leave the room because Sam's going to say something that he actually believes and not just ha-ha jokes. This, I like the idea of the turtle, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin.
Make a great movie.
It could make a great movie. It is absolutely not for wide audience. There's no way that a non-comic reader even someone who reads comics but isn't that invested in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles could go into that film and not walk out going, I don't know what I just watched, but I don't think I like it.
There was no party dudes.
There were no party when the wide viewing public hear Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what do you think of? Cowabunga, party dude, pizza with weird stuff on it.
Somebody skateboards in a sewer.
Yeah. They make a joke about a rat and then they punch Shredder in the face.
I feel like people just think of, when you talk about
the classic,
you think about the 80s cartoon.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what people go to. The 80s cartoon and like maybe like the first live action movie.
Yes. This story about a gritty cyber future where
old
Michelangelo is the last one left and he's angry and hates everybody and
he's suicidal
and he stabs people violently and kills people in a very gruesome way is not maybe a good story, not for a good audience.
There's going to be a lot of crying kids walking out of this one.
I mean, I'll give them this. Logan worked. This is similar to the X-Men.
But they didn't call it all your favorite X-Men movie for. Like,
right. They called it Logan, and they set up very early that, hey, this is not going to be what you
they
think
should
it's going
to
be.
Drop the Ninja Turtle title and just call it The Last Ronin.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I agree with that.
Or call it Eastman's The Last Ronin.
I don't know if I agree with that because then you're going to have people walking into it thinking that it's a period samurai piece.
Samurai movie.
I think they're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Which means they probably shouldn't do this.
Well, there's supposed to be a game coming out, too.
And for a game, sounds great. I think that there is...
Parents don't pay attention to video games.
Well, more than... well, yes. But also, I think that there is a hurdle that can be jumped in print media and game and video games that, because they're still niche enough, like the people that going into it are expecting.
Also, you have to pay $60-$70 for a video game. You're gonna look at what you're buying.
And for a comic book, you have to now go to a comic book shop. You have to make a special trip to a special store for special boys to get your things. But with a movie, anyone could go see a movie.
You're going to be like, what can I take my kids to this weekend to get them to shut up for 2 hours? Oh, Ninja Turtles. I recognize that.
Even the IDW comics are still a little more violent.
Sure.
And that's why they don't sell them at Walmart.
Yeah. I wish they sold comics at box stores.
They have manga.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
And I think I've seen some trades. In the books. Anyway.
They have some like paper comics, but they're from some weird company I don't know.
Recognize.
Yeah,
Marvel. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Something called Detective Comics Comics.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. It's redundant. I don't know why they would call it that. You'd think there'd be an easier way to say that title, but yeah, anyway. Anyway, we have actually hit time, so we should probably go ahead and wrap up the show.
We didn't have time to talk about how all the Sonic movies are doing in Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could save that. That's a tease for next week, my friend.
We can talk about the Charmy the Bee movie.
We could talk about my favorite, Big the Cat.
Yeah.
I got it. Sonic the Hedgehog will return in Winter Soldier.
Excellent.
The Winter Hedgehog.
Yeah.
So Shadow?
It's just Shadow. Shadow the Hedgehog is just the Winter Soldier, basically, right?
Yeah.
Personality-wise?
Kinda.
Well, they do a Rogue the Bat movie.
Rouge the Bat. Oh, yeah.
That's for niche parts of the internet.
I fully expect Rouge the Bat to show up somewhere in the Knuckles, the Echidna show.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have a feeling that she's going to show up at some point and tease the Chaotix, Knuckles Chaotix.
Or just be like the thing at the end.
The stinger, Shadow was at the end of Sonic 2.
Well, here's the thing. They've cast Kristen Ritter for the Knuckles the Echidna show. And unlike other characters who they have basically said, hey, this is who they're going to play, they haven't said who she's going to play yet. So
she's Rouge the Bat, doing her stinger.
What if she is doing her Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 voice for Rouge the Bat?
The bee is for bat.
The bee is for bat. Don't trust the bat. Don't trust the bat in apartment where it's at.
There's your episode title.
There's the episode title. And we got
it.
And here we go. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, or support our Patreon at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, or leave us a voicemail on the Nerd Overload hotline. The number for that's 419-561-5556. Leave us a voicemail, we'll play it on the show. Leave us a text message, we'll read it on the show.
That's right. You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube. They're all on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
We have a YouTube channel.
Again.
And they're all right there because it's minimal work for me to do. So go check out the shows over there if you'd like. Finally, I'd like to thank Parker for helping us out over at the Facebook page and David Pencil for our intro and outro. Again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.